Today, the House Judiciary Committee picked up the impeachment inquiry into President Trump with testimony from four constitutional scholars. The task before the committee, whether to move forward with articles of impeachment. And we're going to take a moment now to listen to a few highlights from today's testimony, starting with the committee chair, Democrat Jerry Nadler of New York. Here's part of his opening statement.
I do not wish this moment on the country. It is not a pleasant task that we undertake today. But we have each taken an oath to protect the Constitution, and the facts before us are clear. President Trump did not merely seek to benefit from foreign interference in our elections. He directly and explicitly invited foreign interference in our elections. He used the powers of his office to try to make it happen. He sent his agents to make clear that this is what he wanted and demanded. He was willing to compromise our security and his office for personal political gain. It does not matter that President Trump got caught and ultimately released the funds that Ukraine so desperately needed. It matters that he enlisted a foreign government to intervene in our elections in the first place. It does not matter that President Trump felt that these investigations were unfair to him. It matters that he used his office not merely to defend himself, but to obstruct investigators at every turn. We are all aware that the next election is looming, but we cannot wait for the election to address the present crisis. The integrity of that election is one of the very things at stake. The President has shown us his pattern of conduct. If we do not act to hold him in check now, President Trump will almost certainly try again to solicit interference in the election for his personal political gain.
The first witness, Harvard's Noah Feldman, said the president's behavior was impeachable.
President Trump's conduct, as described in the testimony and evidence, clearly constitutes impeachable high crimes and misdemeanors under the Constitution. In particular, the memorandum and other testimony relating to the July 25th, 2019 phone call between the two presidents, President Trump and President Zelensky, more than sufficiently indicates that President Trump abused his office by soliciting the president of Ukraine to investigate his political rivals in order to gain personal political advantage, including in relation to the 2020 election. Again, the words abuse of office are not mystical or magical. They are very clear. The abuse of office occurs when the president uses a feature of his power, the awesome power of his office, not to serve the interests of the American public, but to serve his personal, individual, partisan, electoral interests. That is what the evidence before the House indicates. Finally, let me be clear that on its own, soliciting the leader of a foreign government in order to announce investigations of political rivals and perform those investigations would constitute a high crime and misdemeanor. But the House also has evidence before it that the President committed two further acts that also qualify as high crimes and misdemeanors. In particular, the House heard evidence that the President placed a hold on critical U.S. aid to Ukraine and conditioned its release on announcement of the investigations of the Bidens and of the discredited CrowdStrike conspiracy theory. Furthermore, the House also heard evidence that the President conditioned a White House visit desperately sought by the Ukrainian President on announcement of the investigations. Both of these acts constitute impeachable high crimes and misdemeanors under the Constitution. They each encapsulate the framers' worry that the President of the United States would take any means whatever to ensure his reelection. And that is the reason that the framers provided for impeachment in a case like this one.
Republicans have repeatedly interrupted the hearings with parliamentary inquiries in an attempt to slow down a process they're calling unfair and partisan. Here's a taste of that.
Mr. Chairman, I seek
recognition. The gentleman's time has expired.
Mr. Chairman, I seek recognition.
The gentleman is recognized.
I offer a motion to postpone to a date certain.
I move to table the motion.
Motion to table is heard and is not debatable. All in favor of the motion to table? All in favor of the motion?
May we have the motion read, please?
The motion was stated as to adjourn to its date.
May we have the motion read, please?
The motion will be read as to what date?
Motion to be read to a date certain, Wednesday, December 11, 2019, so we can actually get a response to the six letters.
The gentleman has stated his motion. The motion to table is made?
Correct.
Motion to table is made and not debatable. All in favor? The motion to table will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion to table is agreed to.
Roll call.
Roll call is requested. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Nadler?
Aye.
Mr. Nadler votes aye. Ms. Lofgren?
Aye.
Ms. Lofgren votes aye. Ms. Jackson?
Chairman Nadler there using a roll call to get the hearing back on track. Now, three of the witnesses today testified that President Trump's behavior fits the historical definition of high crimes and misdemeanors. But the fourth and the only one called by Republicans disagreed. Jonathan Turley of George Washington University Law School said it was highly inappropriate for President Trump to ask Ukraine to investigate his political rival, but he said it would be wrong to impeach.
It's not wrong because President Trump is right. His call was anything but perfect. It's not wrong because the House has no legitimate reason to investigate the Ukrainian controversy. It's not wrong because we're in an election year. There is no good time for an impeachment. No, it's wrong because this is not how you impeach an American president. This case is not a case of the unknowable. It's a case of the peripheral. We have a record of conflicts, defenses that have not been fully considered, unsubpoenaed witness with material evidence. To impeach a president on this record would expose every future president to the same type of inchoate impeachment. Principle often takes us to a place we would prefer not to be. That was the place seven Republicans found themselves in the Johnson trial, when they saved a president from acquittal that they despised. For generations, they've been celebrated as profiles of courage. Senator Edmund Ross said it was like looking down into his open grave. And then he jumped because he didn't have any alternative. It's easy to celebrate those people from the distance of time and circumstance. In an age of rage, it's appealing to listen to those saying, forget the definitions of crimes, just do it. Like this is some impulse buy Nike sneaker. You can certainly do that. You can declare the definitions of crimes alleged are immaterial and just an exercise of politics, not the law. However, those legal definitions and standards, which I've addressed in my testimony, are the very thing that divide rage from reason.
The Democrats' lawyer, Norm Eisen, asked Pamela Carlin of Stanford to explain what concerns the framers of the Constitution had about foreign powers corrupting American elections.
It isn't just our national interest in protecting our own elections. It's not just our national interest in making sure that the Ukraine remains strong and on the front line so they fight the Russians there and we don't have to fight them here. But it's also our national interest in promoting democracy worldwide. And if we look hypocritical about this, if we look like we're asking other countries to interfere in our election, if we look like we're asking other countries to engage in criminal investigations of our president's political opponents, then we're not doing our job of promoting our national interest in being that shining city on a hill.
Professor Feldman, anything to add?
Ultimately, the reason that the Constitution provided for impeachment was to anticipate a situation like the one that is before you today. The framers were not prophets, but they were very smart people with a very sophisticated understanding of human incentives. And they understood that a president would be motivated naturally to try to use the tremendous power of office to gain personal advantage, to keep himself in office, to corrupt the electoral process, and potentially to subvert the national interest. The facts strongly suggest that this is what President Trump has done, and under those circumstances, the framers would expect the House of Representatives to take action in the form of impeachment.
A few highlights from today's impeachment hearing before the House Judiciary Committee.